All right, get ready, because today we're taking a deep dive into something I know you've been wanting to explore.
That's intriguing.
It's emotional intelligence, and you're not alone in wanting to level up in this area.
Yeah, it's a popular topic these days.
It seems like it comes up everywhere: work, relationships, personal growth.
And for good reason.
We actually had a listener reach out specifically requesting a deep dive on this.
Makes sense.
So we've got a great stack of articles to pull from and even a little sneak peek into the book Emotional Intelligence 2.0.
Nice.
Okay, so to kick things off, what is it that makes EQ so fascinating?
Well, a lot of people think it's just about being, nice.
Right, like just being a feel-good person all the time.
Exactly. But EQ goes way deeper than that.
So it's more than just surface-level niceness.
Yeah, it's really about this complex interplay
Interplay of what?
of understanding, managing, and responding to not just your own emotions,
Okay.
but the emotions of other people as well.
So there's an internal and external component to it.
Absolutely, and that's what makes it so powerful.
Okay, I can already see how this is more than just, smiling and being polite.
Right, it's a real skill set.
But where do we even begin to untangle all of this?
Well, a good starting point is to think of it like a toolbox.
A toolbox. Interesting analogy.
Yeah, it's like this set of tools.
Tools for what exactly?
Tools for navigating the emotional landscape of life.
Okay, I'm liking this analogy.
It's not about like suppressing or ignoring your emotions.
Right, because they're obviously a natural part of who we are.
Exactly. It's more about harnessing the power of your emotions.
Okay, so we've got this toolbox. What are the essential tools we need?
So, researchers often break down EQ into four key components.
Four. Okay, I'm ready to take notes.
The first is self-awareness.
Self-awareness, that sounds pretty straightforward.
It is, but it's also really foundational.
Okay.
It's about recognizing and understanding your own emotions.
So being able to label what you're feeling in a given moment.
That's part of it, but it goes deeper.
Deeper.
It's not just about labeling, it's about understanding the why.
The why behind the
Yeah,
emotions.
like what triggers certain emotions for you?
Oh, I see. So like what pushes your buttons?
Exactly. Or what brings you joy?
So it's about those patterns.
Yeah. And once you understand those patterns, you gain more control
Control over your emotions.
over your reactions, how you respond to things.
That makes a lot of sense.
So recognizing the emotion is step one.
Okay, what comes after that?
That leads us to the second component, self-management.
Self-management. Okay, so building on that self-awareness.
Right. It's about taking the reins of your emotional responses.
So instead of just reacting impulsively, you're more deliberate.
Exactly. It's like being the captain of your ship, even in rough seas.
Okay, I like that visual.
So instead of, let's say, firing off that angry email when you're frustrated,
Oh, yeah, we've all been there.
you pause, you take a breath, and choose a more constructive approach.
So you're not letting your emotions completely dictate your actions.
Precisely. Self-management is about having those tools.
What kind of tools?
Like deep breathing exercises, taking a break to gain perspective.
Things that help you regulate those initial reactions.
Right, and allow you to respond thoughtfully, not just react impulsively.
That's definitely a game changer, but we don't live in a vacuum.
That's true.
We're constantly interacting with other people, right?
All the time.
So how does EQ come into play in those situations?
That's where the third component comes in, social awareness.
Social awareness. Okay, so this is the interpersonal part of EQ.
Yeah, this is where empathy really takes center stage.
Empathy. So putting yourself in other people's shoes.
It's a little more nuanced than that.
Okay, how so?
It's about recognizing and understanding the emotions of others.
Even if you don't necessarily agree with their perspective.
Exactly. You can acknowledge their feelings without adopting them yourself.
So there's a distinction there.
Yes, and it's an important one.
How can we cultivate this social awareness?
Active listening is a powerful tool.
So really tuning into what someone's saying.
Both verbally and non-verbally.
Right, because so much communication is beyond just the words.
Exactly. And it's about putting aside your own thoughts for a moment.
To truly try to understand their perspective.
Yes, to step into their world, so to speak.
Okay, I'm following you.
We've got self-awareness, self-management, and social awareness.
What's the final piece of this EQ puzzle?
The fourth component is relationship management.
Relationship management. So this is where it all comes together.
It is. It's about using your understanding of yourself and others.
To build strong connections.
Yes, healthy connections, both personally and professionally.
So those first three components really lay the groundwork for this.
Absolutely, they're all interconnected.
Okay, give me an example of this in action.
Imagine you're in a conflict with someone.
Ooh, Conflict, always a fun topic.
Well, your self-awareness helps you understand your own triggers.
Okay.
Self-management helps you regulate your reactions.
So you don't just blow up.
Right. And social awareness allows you to empathize with the other person.
Even if you don't agree with them.
Yes. All of these skills create a solid foundation.
A foundation for what?
For effective communication, for problem solving.
So you can navigate the conflict more constructively.
Exactly. And that's it's one example.
Okay. I'm starting to see the power of EQ.
It's not just some fluffy concept.
No, it has real world implications.
It can impact your relationships, your career, your overall well-being.
Okay. I'm sold on the importance of EQ, but I have to ask.
What's that?
What's in it for me? How will developing my EQ actually benefit my life?
Well, the benefits are numerous, but let's start with self-awareness and self-management.
Okay.
Think about a time you sent a heated email and instantly regretted it.
Oh, I don't have to think too hard about that one.
Or said something you wish you could take back.
Yeah, we've all been there.
With stronger EQ, you're more likely to catch yourself in those moments.
So you're more aware of your triggers and can choose a different response.
Exactly. Instead of being ruled by your emotions, you become more in control.
I like the sound of that.
It's about making conscious choices instead of reacting impulsively.
Okay. That's a really tangible benefit.
And that's just scratching the surface. There's so much more to explore.
I'm definitely intrigued. Let's dig into some of those other benefits. Next.
Good to me.
Okay, so we've established that EQ can help us avoid those less than stellar moments.
Right, those impulsive reactions we often regret.
Exactly. But you mentioned the book Emotional Intelligence 2.0 earlier.
Yeah, it's a great resource for understanding EQ.
What were some of the key insights you took away from it?
Well, one thing that really stood out to me was...
Go on.
It was how they dove into the neurological basis of emotional intelligence.
Oh, interesting. So there's like a scientific backing to all of this.
Absolutely. It's not just some abstract concept, you know.
I mean, our brains are pretty complex.
They are, but the book explains it in a way that's easy to understand.
So how does our brain actually process emotions?
Well, certain regions of our brains, like the amygdala, are involved in...
The amygdala, okay.
They're involved in processing and regulating our emotional responses.
So, like, specific parts of our brain are responsible for how we feel.
Exactly. And what's fascinating is...
What's that?
We can actually train those brain regions just like we train our muscles.
Wait, so by practicing EQ skills, we're actually changing our brains.
That's the idea. It's called neuroplasticity.
Neuroplasticity. I've heard that term before.
It's the brain's ability to change and adapt over time.
So our brains aren't just static. They can actually rewire themselves.
Exactly. And that's what makes developing EQ so powerful.
Wow. I'm really starting to see the potential here.
It's pretty amazing, right?
It is. So we've talked about self-awareness, self-management, the benefits for, you know, not sending those angry emails.
Right. Regulating our reactions.
But what about social awareness and relationship management?
Yeah, those are key components as well.
How do they play out in real world situations?
Think about a leader who's trying to, let's say, inspire their team.
Okay. Leadership. That's a good example.
It's not just about giving orders. Or, you know, having technical expertise.
There's got to be more to it than that.
It's about connecting with people on an emotional level.
Understanding what makes them tick.
Yeah, understanding their motivations, building trust, fostering collaboration.
So EQ is a key ingredient in effective leadership.
Absolutely. And it's not just limited to leadership.
Where else does it come into play?
Romantic relationships, for example.
Okay, so understanding your partner.
Being able to empathize with them, communicate effectively. Even when things get tough.
It's like having that secret decoder ring for each other's emotions.
Yeah, and it's crucial for navigating those inevitable challenges.
Makes sense. What about the workplace?
It's huge in the workplace.
In what ways?
Think about, like, difficult conversations with colleagues.
Oh, yeah, those can be tricky.
Resolving conflicts constructively, building rapport with clients.
All essential skills for success.
And they all rely on a strong foundation of EQ.
I'm telling you, everyone needs EQ training.
It should be taught in schools, honestly.
I agree. It's like a fundamental life skill.
Right up there with reading and writing?
Absolutely. But let's be realistic for a moment.
Okay.
Developing EQ takes effort. It's not just going to happen overnight.
That's true. It's a process, like learning any new skill.
And the book Emotional Intelligence 2.0 offers some strategies for that, right?
It does. And one that I found particularly helpful was...
I'm curious.
The importance of seeking feedback.
Feedback. So asking others for their input.
Yeah, it can be a little daunting, but it's so valuable.
Why is it so important?
Because we often have blind spots when it comes to our own behavior.
Oh, I totally get that. It's hard to see ourselves objectively sometimes.
And by asking trusted people for honest feedback, we can gain a clearer picture.
A clearer picture of how we come across to others.
Exactly. It's like holding up a mirror, but through their eyes.
That's a great way to put it, but it does require a certain level of humility.
You're right. It's about being open to learning and growing.
Even if that feedback might be a little tough to hear.
It's not always easy, but it's worth it in the long run.
Okay, feedback noted. Were there any other nuggets of wisdom from the book?
Yeah, another key takeaway was the emphasis on communication skills.
Communication, well, that makes sense. It's all about interacting with others.
But it goes beyond just speaking clearly.
So there's more to it than just the words we use.
Yes. It's about understanding the subtle nuances of emotional communication.
Reading between the lines, picking up on nonverbal cues.
Exactly. And it also talks about the power of using I statements.
I statements, I've heard of those, but I'm not sure I fully get them.
They're a really effective way of communicating your feelings without blaming others.
Okay, give me an example.
Instead of saying, you always make me so angry, which can put someone on the defensive.
Right, that's not going to lead to a productive conversation.
You can shift the focus by saying, I feel angry when this happens because...
So you're owning your emotions without pointing finger.
Exactly. And it creates space for a more empathetic response.
So the other person is less likely to feel attacked.
And more likely to listen and try to understand your perspective.
Wow, I'm really starting to see how this all ties together.
It's a powerful framework for navigating human interaction.
We've got self-awareness, self-management, social awareness, relationship management.
And then those communication skills layered on top. It's quite a toolkit.
It really is. But it's important to remember that EQ isn't some magical solution.
You're right. It's not a cure-all.
It's not about becoming a mind reader or, you know, manipulating people.
That's a really important point.
It's about authenticity, connection, understanding.
And using your understanding of emotions responsibly.
So while we've been focusing on all the benefits of EQ.
Right, the positive side of things.
It's also worth considering the potential downsides.
Downsides of EQ. That's an interesting thought.
Is there such a thing as too much emotional intelligence?
It's a great question and one that we should definitely explore.
Maybe we should save that for the next part of our deep dive.
That sounds like a plan.
Okay, so we're back and ready to tackle this whole idea of too much EQ.
Yeah. It's a bit of a paradox, right?
It is, because we've been talking about all these benefits.
Right, how it can improve our lives in so many ways.
But you're saying there's a potential downside.
There can be. It's not always sunshine and rainbows.
Okay, I'm a little skeptical, but I'm open to hearing this out.
Well, let's start with empathy.
Empathy, the ability to understand other people's feelings.
Exactly, and it's obviously a crucial component of EQ.
Right, we talked about how important it is.
But imagine someone who has exceptionally high empathy.
Okay, someone who's really tuned into other people's emotions.
It's the point where it becomes overwhelming.
Overwhelming? How?
Well, they might constantly absorb the emotional states of those around them.
I can see how that could be draining.
It can be exhausting, lead to burnout even.
So it's like they're carrying the weight of everyone else's emotions.
And without strong boundaries, it can be hard to separate their own feelings from those they're picking up from others.
Yeah, it's like their emotions are all tangled up.
And that can make it really difficult to make decisions or assert their own needs.
Because they're so caught up in what everyone else is feeling.
Right. They might prioritize others' needs above their own to the point of self-sacrifice.
So it's like empathy without boundaries.
That's a good way to put it. And it can lead to a lot of stress and resentment.
Okay, that makes sense. But is there anything else?
Well, we also touched on the potential for manipulation earlier.
Right, how someone skilled in reading emotions could use that to their advantage.
It's a bit of a darker side of EQ, but it's worth acknowledging.
So give me an example.
Let's say you have a charismatic salesperson.
Okay, someone who's really good at building rapport.
They can easily create a sense of trust.
Yeah, people naturally gravitate towards them.
And while those skills can be used ethically to connect with customers and understand their needs, they could also be used to influence people unethically.
So like persuading them to buy something they don't need.
Or manipulating them for personal gain.
That's a little unsettling.
It is, and it highlights the importance of intention.
So EQ skills can be used for good or for bad.
It all depends on the person's motives.
Makes sense, but how can we guard against this darker side?
Well, it all comes back to ethics and values.
So EQ is most effective when it's combined with a strong moral compass.
Absolutely. It's not just about being emotionally intelligent. It's about being a good person.
So knowing the difference between right and wrong.
And using your understanding of emotions responsibly.
Not taking advantage of others.
Exactly. It's about creating positive outcomes, not just manipulating for personal gain.
Okay, so EQ is a tool. And like any tool, it can be used for good or for bad.
That's a great analogy.
And the key is to use it ethically.
And to remember that EQ is just one piece of the puzzle.
There are other important qualities we need to develop alongside it.
Things like critical thinking, ethical decision-making, a strong sense of personal integrity.
All those things help ensure we're using EQ in a way that benefits everyone.
So it's not just about mastering our emotions.
It's about using that mastery wisely and responsibly.
And remembering that EQ is part of a larger picture of living a good life.
Well, I think we've covered a lot of ground today.
We've explored the components of EQ, the neuroscience, even the potential downsides.
It's been a fascinating deep dive.
I agree. And hopefully our listener has gained some valuable insights.
Absolutely. Before we wrap up, I want to leave everyone with this thought.
Go ahead.
As you go about your day, just try to notice those moments where EQ is at play.
In yourself and in others.
You might be surprised by how much it influences our interactions and experiences.
It's really woven into the fabric of our lives.
And even small steps towards developing your EQ can have a big impact.
You can become a better communicator, a more effective leader, a more compassionate person.
What a fantastic note to end on.
Thanks for having me.
It's been a pleasure, and thanks to all of you for joining us on this deep dive into the world of emotional intelligence.